Rolex wearing. Woo! Diamond ring wearing. Woo! Kiss stealing. Woo! Wheeling dealing. Woo! Limousine ride. Woo! Jet flying. Woo! Sucking on a gun. Woo! And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. They give me 2 claps and a Ric Flair.
Tim Livingston.
Emotional security is like the blanket that you tuck your soul in.
Pete Livingston.
You ready for Joe
Buck? You ready for Joe Buck?
That's what I think he's saying. He's like, hey, you're about to sleep with Joe Buck.
And Sam.
This is our candy orchestra.
Mm. It's still going. Those are some good pop rocks.
Los Livingston Brothers.
I have, like, literally, like, 7 flea bites. It sucks.
Flea bites do suck. It is Wednesday.
I don't suck.
November 25th, 2015, 9:12 p.m., year of our Lord.
There's evidence.
We are Los Livingston Brothers. I am Peter. Tim, the gentleman sitting across from me, say hello.
Hi.
Hello. And then...
very somber.
Well, we are joined in studio, first time ever, special guests. We have...
Long time listener, first time caller/joiner.
We have Mr. Robin Brown Ward. Ward? How do you pronounce
it? AKA
Ward.
Straight Tom Brady.
It's the Ward.
There's no accent?
There's no accent.
Okay. Okay.
So D is silent? Is it like pan?
Tim, you got to rotate the microphone around.
It is fucking California cold right now.
Yes.
It is totally California cold.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The Dawboys would laugh at us right now.
I wanted to complain about it being cold, but it's probably like 20 degrees colder in Detroit.
I went to dinner. I went to dinner tonight.
And look that up. How much colder is it in Detroit?
It's 39 right now.
Yeah, okay.
So what is it in Detroit?
It's probably like freezing.
Oh, yeah. Let's take a bet on this. Let's.
I'm going to go more than 20.
So, yeah, go to weather app. I'm going to say it's 22 degrees.
I'm going to say that it's 15 degrees.
Joe, what are you saying?
I'm going to go 14 degrees.
Robin, before you actually find it.
Unless
you already found it.
No, it's okay.
I don't know if I found the right thing or not. Detroit Metropolitan Wayne Airport County.
That's a good call. That's about as good as you can get.
We'll do that. Oh, it's warmer.
What?
75 degrees.
It's 46.
Hey, yeah. Michigan, what? Shut up. You're not that cold.
I don't
Well,
understand.
Fuck you. It's fucking frigid.
Hey, it's fucking 40 degrees out here.
Yeah, what do you know about California cold?
Look how it shows up in weather app. Romulus. It sounds like a fucking Star Trek.
Why the fuck are the Romulans on your goddamn weather app?
We are also joined in studio, first time ever. We have Joe Sexy Mexi Hardman. Joe, say hello. I said Joe say hello, not Tim say hello. Joe say hello.
No, Tim can introduce me. Go ahead.
I was going to say, he's validating our Rooney rule for the podcast.
Okay.
Oh. Minority podcast guest.
But I'm actually not just being interviewed.
Damn it. He's actually... No, technically you are being interviewed. Audio guest, whatever. Something.
There were things happening.
My Rooney rule joke was 82% effective.
There are things happening that are very special.
All around us. Like Love Actually.
There are things happening in the association.
Can we talk about this first?
There are things happening in the city of Oakland. There are things happening that involve a team by the name of the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, we are a football podcast first and foremost, but my God, like, how can you not watch that team play basketball?
There's a professional team in the NBA that is currently undefeated with a record of
16-0.
The Detroit Pistons.
It seems like they're 21 and minus 2. I mean, it seems like they've like
so 23.
I mean, that's how good they are.
The core of their team, Andre Drummond, is shooting like 68% inside the paint and like 14% everywhere else. But he is just carrying that team right now.
The Lakers are a horrible,
team. My favorite stat from last night, Steph Curry made more shots than Kobe Bryant had percentage points on his field goals.
One shot. He made one shot.
Ten made for Steph. Kobe went 1 for 14.
There's a fan who made a basket to win haircuts for everyone, and he made just as many baskets as Kobe.
And it was at halftime.
It was at halftime.
And he shot it left-handed. Kobe could have made more shots left-handed last night, I think.
This basketball segment is brought to you by Not Your Father's Root Beer, Small Town Brewery. It is 5.9%.
Oh, my God.
But it is 100% sexy. And it is for your enjoyment. Please go pick up your...
It's like, good. I'm not lying. Like, this is dangerous. This is the most dangerous beer we've had.
But listen, also...
It tastes like root beer.
For podcast listeners, we're all, by most accounts, old men.
Yes.
A day of drinking this and you're going to have a horrible...
Oh, yeah. Okay. So let's talk about water consumption. Make sure you're going 2-to-1 with this root beer.
I would.
Or else you're going to be hurt.
You always say that. I always preach that. Do I ever drink water while I'm drinking beer?
No.
Who remembers?
Maybe if I get the hiccups.
Joe just goes and grabs a Coors Light if he needs to hydrate.
Oh, yeah. C-minus, man. There's water in that.
It helps.
Literally 3 minutes into that Warriors-Lakers game, I was like, oh, my God, there's no chance.
Oh, no, no. It was so great. They went down 9.
I'm like, everybody's open. How is this possible?
Steph hit his first 3. They went down 9. I was like, well, it's over.
Yeah.
And it was.
It was totally
over. It was over at 16-7. It was over.
I showed up at Old Sonoma. Like
doing homework
when the third quarter was almost over, and I'm like, we're up by like 35 points right now, and this is a professional basketball game.
Multiple times,
what the hell is happening?
Multiple times they went up by 40 plus.
Yeah. It was
like,
nuts.
No, three different times.
Like 9 minutes in, I stopped to get a burrito, and like was sitting with it on the TV. Not a single starter was in, not even Iguodala, and I was like, oh,
that's and like bad.
They went deep into their bench.
Yeah,
there is something to be said. And semi-ironic that if you were to go back 10 years, the script was flipped.
Totally.
Oh, without a doubt. No.
Totally.
There was a dark time where the Warriors came in, or not the Warriors,
like
the Lakers.
The Warriors time.
The Lakers came into town, and it was Kobe and company just taking a collective dump on the Warriors.
Yeah.
And there was something a little bit sad, but mostly
cathartic.
Just...
It was cathartic.
Brought a lot of joy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And watching the Lakers just struggle.
So I want to talk about the narrative real quick. So the narrative now is that the Warriors can't win 70. They can't challenge the Bulls in 95-96. Because, and it's so funny, it's all these guys who played in that era who are saying this. Like if you watched Inside the NBA last night, Kenny Smith, Reggie Miller was talking about it during the broadcast. You talked to Shane Battier was on Zach Lowe's podcast talking about how they, you know, they have a shot, but I don't think they're going to do it. And if you look at the point differential, you look at the minutes distribution, and this is the most important part. The West is not that great this year.
No, they've already gone through the heavy part of the start of their
The next season. Time they get challenges on Christmas Day
with the Cavs,
against the Cavs,
that's it.
They could be 26-0 by that game.
And not only that,
the Spurs, who they see twice, everybody is basically saying the Spurs are going to get them, the Cavs are going to get them. 7-game series. They're saying the Cavs are going to win the East, the West will get them, and the Spurs will get them in the finals. If you can find me a 5-man lineup that can go up against Steph, Clay, Harrison Barnes, Andre Iguodala, and Draymond at the 5, the best 5-man lineup.
Well, that's
lineup.
A bit of small.
No. It's the best five-man lineup.
Lineup.
It's the best 5-man lineup in the NBA. They are plus 18 or so when they're on the floor. They score 118 points per 100 possessions, man. They are crazy.
You know, Michael Jordan 5 times. Done.
Right. You know what this is, and this isn't a joke. This is when the 49ers and Bill Walsh were running the West Coast offense. Mm-hmm. And they are so far ahead of the game right now.
Yeah.
There was a period where Europe was starting to catch up, and we would go and we would lose to these European basketball teams because they would spread the floor out, and then they would shoot threes. And we had a couple of years where we got like a bronze in the Olympics and the World Championship we lost.
But that was also because our number one stars were like...
Yeah, Stephon Iverson and Stephen Marbury.
Yeah. But the point was like... We had to take notice was that the game of basketball was changing, and people were actually catching up to America.
Mm-hmm.
And now basketball is at this point where it just got accelerated by the Warriors.
Yeah.
Like, the Spurs were playing spur ball, but now we are not only just playing the same type of basketball the Spurs are playing, but we're playing it at an accelerated level. Yeah. And it is. It's granted, they're not going to be, like, undefeated, but there's a really, really, really strong chance that they actually will beat the Bulls.
I mean, if you think about the times they've stumbled this year, they still won.
Yeah.
Clippers, Nets, Raptors, Bulls, Pistons to an extent. They had to pull away from the Pistons. Like,
Cavs twice.
I mean, it's like, but like this year.
Clippers.
No, Clippers, yeah, Clippers twice. They still figure out ways to win. And that's the part is like everybody talks about the adjustments made to that team. Nobody ever thinks about the adjustments the Warriors make to those adjustments. That's why they have that five-man lineup in their back pocket. Mm-hmm. There's nobody in the NBA that can set out a starting five
or a better bench
and have that five-man lineup in their back pocket that say, you know what, we're going to go get these guys.
The thing is, it's going to take a few years
for the rest of the NBA
to catch up.
Here's the second narrative I wanted to bring up, that the dynasty, it is real.
Mm-hmm.
The salary cap is going to go up like so much in the next two seasons.
It's like $15 million.
You're going to be able to keep Steph. You're going to be able to keep Harrison Barnes, right? You're going to be able to pay Festus Ezeli. You're going to be able to keep this team together.
Get Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah. So the Kevin Durant thing is still out there. That being said, they have to really mess with some things to get him in.
I saw a 538 post about it where they broke it down and they're like, it's totally possible.
Oh, yeah, it totally is.
Like, you can have Harrison Barnes, you already have Draymond Green, you already have Steph, you already have Clay. All these guys are under contract. You can pay Steph more. You can pay Steph the max and still pay Durant the max and have all of them.
Yeah. I mean, that's scary. Control. Now,
Draymond is, in my opinion, the key to all of this.
He's
two-way. He's just an incredible offensive player. He's getting assists at the power forward. He's defending all five positions.
Yes, he is.
He's hitting three-pointers somehow.
How about Andre Iguodala being at like 44% for threes and Draymond's getting close to 40% for threes?
Draymond Green
That's disgusting!
Draymond Green is, I imagine him being the equivalent with the plus minus and the influence of being on the floor as Battier. He's like this generation's Battier.
But he's got a better skill set than Battier. Battier was the best lockdown defender of his time between him and he was a great three-point shooter. But he couldn't handle like Draymond. He couldn't defend all five spots like Draymond. You had to put him on a wing.
Battier was a great defender.
You could put Draymond on LaMarcus, you could put him on Tim Duncan, you could put him on Andre Drummond, you can put him on
Porzingis. Here's the thing, though. You can't say all five positions, though.
He can.
No, you can't.
Because he plays center, and they match him up with their center. If you play
There were times where he got exposed by getting matched up with elite-level point guards, and he got made stupid. Well, and so you can't just say, oh, we're going to stick him on, you know, Chris Paul.
I mean, they're not going to do that. They'll put Andre Iguodala on him. He's the third level. It's like Magic Johnson playing center and guarding a center.
I'm going to say two through five, I would feel very comfortable.
But you switch.
On the switch, all those guys
at 6'7" with arm spans of more than 7 feet, you can switch Draymond and he's not going to get killed.
No.
Right? And that's what makes it so. That's what makes that lineup in particular just disgusting.
And there's
you can't stop it.
There's no big. There's nobody that's like a Shaq that can just like completely dunk. Like, so he's in a really good spot right now where he can play the undersized five and succeed, which is really cool. Well,
the Warriors are like ruining the mold of basketball.
Oh yeah. Oh no, they
like,
totally
talking about
are.
Like that Shaq. Like Shaq might not have a place where this is going. Like
they were actually talking about that.
You know, you think about it, when we were coming up, I was like, I'm 5'11", like, I'm not playing basketball, like, it's not happening. There are kids now that can go, you know what, if I can just line up and shoot, if I can practice on my shot, and I can handle the ball, like, there is a chance.
There's a spot for
it. It's true. Like, if you think about what the players that were coming out of college and high school were like 10 years ago with the AI influence and the Michael Jordan influence... Now think about the kids that are to come out in the next 10 years with your Steph Curry influence, with your LeBron.
That's all it is, man. I mean, back in the day, it was like trying to just get more hops and get up to the rim. And now dunk. You got now guys. It's like,
now it's gonna be step back threes. Yeah, now it's gonna be step back threes.
Totally.
And passing around pick and rolls. Right.
It's a more diverse skill set. So you're not taking big kids and just saying you stand under the basket and whatever.
Like, listen. Let's be honest.
You should be in the NBA.
No, the NBA is becoming about fundamentals and shooting.
Isn't that hilarious?
WNBA. The WNBA. Exactly.
It's just a totally accelerated version of it. And like I said, and Warriors fans, you get a chance to watch this. This team.
Still the punchline.
Very nice.
I got very excited when I saw your gong. I was like, my God, WNBA.
Oh, my God, it's the WNBA.
Oh, my God.
We know can't jump high, but have good fundamentals.
Was that like Futurama.
That's Futurama. Thank you.
By the way, Shaq is the voice of reason on that TNT Inside.
Which is
the
hilarious.
Inside the NBA, which is hilarious. But Shaq, all these guys are going nuts about everything. And you got Barkley over there talking trash about the Warriors for what seems like a decade.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like all the way back to the We Believe when there was a totally different construction of the team. And he still, even then, hated them. And it goes on now. But Shaq is just like, he sits over there quiet, this freaking giant, and then he makes a good point.
Yeah. He's the big Aristotle to a team, man.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, but like, just watch this team. They are not just basketball fan television. They are appointment television. Like, they transcend the idea of basketball. They are from all, and I was talking, I can't remember who I was talking about this the other night, but like, from an organizational standpoint, they're a progressive organization. They always give back to the fans. When they build their new stadium, they're not going after public money. It's going to be all private money. They have investors that are totally, totally not only invested in the future of the franchise, but they want to embolden the franchise. So they are going to be able to say, hey, in 2 years, because Kevin Durant's not going to sign next year. Everybody knows he's going to take a one-year deal with OKC. The cap is going to go up again. He'll shoot for the Supermax in 2 seasons.
Yes.
When Kevin Durant is
say that, but
dude wants
if
to
you
win.
Want a ring.
What if he signed a one-year deal with the Warriors instead?
Yeah. So so that's a good point. But the problem is I don't think the Warriors can do that this year. They'd have to wait and do that next year, right? If that happens, Joe Lacob gets to go to his front office and say, if you want Kevin Durant and you think he's going to work with his foot injury and all this stuff, if you can tell me that you think he is worth the money you're going to have to pay him to get him here, he'll go into the luxury tax and bring him onto this team.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Definitely.
Because I want to see 82 games and the playoffs of Steph Curry playing pick-and-roll basketball with Kevin Durant.
But here's the other thing is that he has to not only perform, he has to stay healthy. And if he comes in and does a 1 year max deal, he and he's still kind of bumbling along.
Right.
Like as much as I love the idea of having this is where I kind of am a little gun shy about bringing him on. As much as I like to think of the Kevin Durant of 4 years ago, that was Kevin Durant. I don't want to be paying for a 7-footer with bad feet that's only playing about 30 games a season, 40 games a season.
But like, what about in the Warrior system where no player really plays more than 30 minutes?
If they can figure out a way to make that work, like they've made Steph's ankles work.
Yes.
They've done a great job.
Yes.
That's totally.
I think you mean Under Armour made his that ankles kid, work? Yeah.
No, but that is a. And this is the other thing.
Just kidding, Nike, if you want to sponsor
the
show,
we'll take it. They avoided injuries and stuff like this. The way that they have it
is not made by Nike, is it?
No.
No, it's not.
It's Under Armour.
But but the way that they've set the team minutes up, it's totally taken out a lot of the risk for injury.
Yeah, the way they do that is that they just destroy teams for the third quarter and then sit
and
everybody.
And then Steph gets to sit the fourth. But it's totally true. So they have an efficiency set up where it's like, oh, we can reduce our injury risk this much.
Yeah.
And if you have that ability to do that with a guy like Kevin Durant coming in, so, I mean, it's nicely done.
I know.
But I mean, I speak for everyone. We're just we can't wait to see first how long the streak goes. Second, when March comes around, how close are they going to be to 70?
Yes.
And then if they can, and this is the truth, if they can go 16-0 in the playoffs. That's the one I want
to
see.
Yeah, you're going to have to match the 86 Celtics, yeah, who only lost one game, right, which is pretty freaking
and the, crazy. And the, yeah, and the 83 76ers? Listen,
did either one of those teams start 16-0? No.
No, they didn't. They did not.
But they were with in Boston, plus, so they probably drank a lot of beer.
17 point differential?
Hey,
it's like, Larry, you got a game in 2 hours.
Northern California makes some pretty awesome beer.
Yes.
I just drank what tasted like a root beer, but now I'm feeling kind of tipsy.
It's the sugar rush.
And I'm going to steal one of those.
So, before we move on, just real quick, this is going to be, let's do a quick over-under on losses for the Warriors this year at 5.5 games. This is brought to you by Rozanski Design. They design stuff to make your stuff look good with
but
stuff.
But also serve a purpose.
But serve a purpose.
Because they're not
Rozanski, that's actually...
That's it is. Rozanski Design, stuff that serves a purpose.
Yes.
Put it on his shirt.
All right, Tim, go ahead. 5.5 games.
It's going to be over. I think they're. I think the best they could do would be 74-8.
Okay. 5.5 games.
You're saying I have
for
to go,
losses.
For losses,
yes.
So you have.
They will go over 5.5 losses. Yes.
What about? Okay. Well, let's say 6.5.
Still over.
Still over.
Yeah.
Okay. You'd have to put the number at 7.5 or 8.5 for me to be like,
yeah. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Games are going to start getting tired. People are going to start getting tired when they have a lock. Sitting Steph here and there is okay by me.
Yeah,
I got a feeling though, if they're like, flirting with the record, I think they might go for it.
I think they definitely would. But here's the thing, you know, sports are fickle and things happen. You know, like I don't want to put anything out there, you know, but
you're going.
The injury thing is real,
Tim.
The Warriors players have been relatively healthy of late. And all of a sudden, you have something happen to a couple of core players in this whole argument.
Or their head coach.
So they're having a great start. Oh, yeah. They're playing.
Their biggest injury so far has been to their head coach.
By the way, shout out to Luke Walton. But he's going to be an NBA head coach next year.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, you will.
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah, he will.
But if they stay healthy, they're playing at a level that other teams just can't match at all.
Yeah. And they do play a style that is not as conducive to injury because it's a jump shooting style.
This is trouble.
It is totally trouble.
I'm halfway through this and I'm like, this is really tasty.
But to beat the Warriors the way they're playing right now, you have to have your best night. And they have to have...
The Warriors have to lose. They have
not their worst night, but they have to play down.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Warriors, they have to lose. They're not going to... Right. They're not going to be a team that you beat them. They're going to beat themselves.
Yeah. And you know what? When the game is close, you know, within 10 points, even if they're down 10 with 5 minutes to go, they click into a different gear.
They do.
They know they can win. They get in there, and they make it happen.
It's true.
They believe it.
And you've seen it a couple times this year. So, I mean, you have to – when they need to, they can hit that switch.
They had a ton of comeback wins last year, too.
Yeah.
So it's in their DNA.
Yeah.
And not to mention, they are 99-20 going back to the start of last
season.
Good
Lord. When Steve Kerr became the head coach of that team, they have a winning percentage of .830.
It's pretty good.
Good Lord.
And that's
get out of here. League.
So let's move on to... The dynasty. We're in crunch time, gentlemen. By the way, happy Thanksgiving to everybody here.
Gobble gobble.
To say, I hope everybody enjoys their day tomorrow, and that it's full of cheer and
tryptophan.
Great food and
relatively limited family drama.
I was actually going to get to that.
I was going to say, if you take your pants off at the table, don't announce it first. All right,
just do it.
Just subtlety is the greatest thing you can have there.
Like, I don't know what the fuck's up with y'all's families.
If you go back a few podcasts, there was something where like Tim referenced like pot and Christmas, and Joe was like, "What? I don't know.
How would your family do it for Christmas?"
We're a progressive
family.
But let's go ahead. Let's recap week 11, which was a really crazy week. It wasn't very high scoring. There were a lot of good players that were on bye weeks.
Or hurt.
So there was a lot – or hurt. But there was a lot of activity on the waiver wire, people trying to fill positions, trying to patch holes. And there were only two teams that scored 100 points or more. One was Matt Kieser. The other was –
somehow. Yeah, how did Matt
– 5.08.
And the other – was our commissioner.
Yeah. So Elliot, you can tell during our Friendsgiving thing, for those not listening or there for Friendsgiving, which is actually no one in this room. Oh yeah, Joe is not there. But Elliot, he was giddy, like uncontrollably giddy. Like
he was hard half the night.
I mean, he was, and it's a family show. But yeah, he was hard. I mean, it was fun.
He's been working out a lot. We're talking about his muscles.
He's in Vegas right now. Doing the family thing with the in-laws.
He's at Chippendales.
He's at Chippendales, yeah.
He's a dancer. He works out a lot.
I want Elliot.
A private
what
dancer?
Sucks. So this, for money? So this pot, yeah, it's a private dancer. Hell yeah, private dancer. Good joke. That's Robin's go-to joke, by the way. Mm-hmm. Private dancer.
Hey, on, let's get into the recap, because let's just get into the recap real quick.
Do real what quick. You want me to do.
God, yes.
Anyways.
We're doing so well.
Things are getting steamy.
Very special episode of
Listen. So I went from the upset to the upset of the upset, by the way.
That's deep, man.
It yeah, is, right? It is super at deep. The very beginning, everyone was calling for me to not make playoffs. And I got a chance.
You have a chance.
I'd say you got the inside track on that four seed.
And so. And part of that comes from the fact that I beat MCR Silly Nannies. 83.2 to
80.
Yeah.
Okay. The Brown Street.
Let's talk
Pooligans.
About this.
The Brown Street Boomers.
Never, never. The Pittsburgh Feelers really were close, okay?
I'm telling you, Brown Street Pooligans.
Brown Street Pooligans.
Is on top.
Really? I mean, right now. He can change it to the Pittsburgh Feelers when he moves back out here, but I mean, Brown, yeah, I mean.
I never thought the MCR Silly Nannies was going to go away, but I think we just should call it. It's the Brown Street Pooligans.
Yeah, you're the Brown Street Pooligans. So.
There are so many good names. I think you could reference any of them. And
if he really wants to like keep it down, we'll just call it BSP.
So, yeah, BSP. So BSP, which is like ESB from the Premier League. So that's going to make Matt really happy.
Yeah.
That's
sorry.
Is that a European?
That's a Premier Europe League team? Soccer team.
NFL Europe.
ESP.
No.
The Rhine Fire.
Stop it. The Rhine Fire. The Frankfurt. What were the Frankfurt?
I don't know. But hang on.
Never before has Matt Hughes wanted the metric system to be in our league more than this week when Pete beats him by that score.
Yeah. There's a point where I was winning by 0.02 points.
I screenshot
it. Yeah. It was great.
I was giddy at that point. I was watching. I was like, it's going to happen.
I was pissed because I was losing. But I saw that, and I immediately was like, this is tremendous.
I did quick math. I was like, wait a minute. I'm going to win. If Pete wins, I'm in fourth place.
Yeah, you're like...
Fourth place!
So you're saying I have a chance.
Totally.
You are the Flint Tropics.
But it ended up being one of those weeks where every little pickup helped. I picked up Golden Tate, Robert Woods, a lot of injuries, but it still worked out for me.
Right? Your running back goes down, his running back goes down. Like,
this is mutual, friend.
Dirty, Pete basically has Matt Keiser's old team. Like Witten and Golden Tate.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like, oh, you dropped him?
One man's trash is another's treasure. What can I say? The other game, Elliot, who is all of a sudden is like a bat out of hell.
Hell yeah.
Who is he facing for the
He's
rest
facing
of the year?
People that make my entry into the playoffs that much better. Yeah.
And this is a guy who scored 127.
So
Scott, he beat 127 to 69 points. Thank you.
Week 12, he faces Matt Hughes. So this week, he faces
So that helps me at Joe.
And then he faces Tim.
Which helps me too, actually.
And then in week 14, he faces Tahir.
Which helps me also. So it's like, I want him to stay hot. Like, he wins
stay
out.
Stay hot, L.
If he wins out, I can lose one of my next three and still most likely.
Sucks, yeah. Yeah, everything sucks.
Matt Keiser beat Brianne 100 to
86. But that name was on cloud.
What?
Are you getting paid for random shit that we don't
know?
No,
I'm not. If I was getting paid, I'd be much happier than what I am right now.
Put that in your Marlboro Reds.
I still don't understand how you can store things in a cloud. Aren't they just like...
God damn it, Robin.
Don't they rain?
Isn't it just...
Why don't you put that in your pipe and smoke
it?
Damn it, Robin.
I don't understand how you keep things in it.
I don't get it.
God damn it.
So, Joe beat Tim 98-78. Tim, or since you're both here, Tim, you go first. Talk about this week.
I have nothing to talk. I mean,
you're a coward. Joe, talk about this week.
Like, get the fuck out
the
of
biggest
here.
Thing that came out of this week for me, in all honesty, is the confirmation that Shady is a real running back again.
Yeah, shouts to Rex Ryan for turning him into a real running back again. Except he did against me, so fuck him.
Yeah.
So,
Tim essentially is riding two players, Andy Dalton and DeAndre Hopkins, who kill it week in and week out. The only thing is that his team is just
shit.
You dropped Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, because Jameis Winston's a better quarterback than he is now.
Mm-hmm. He is, and I think that's a great
pick. And I understand that holding on for dear life because I dropped right before the game. Russell
Wilson. I mean, he's still a 13th round keeper, but it's like now, I was like, no, he's not worth it. He's not even worth 13th round
Russell Wilson might be, but not for me. Not now.
That was really, and you know what? If you look to the future for the Seattle Seahawks, I'm not.
Thomas
I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, although, had I been paying attention, I totally should have.
Done it earlier?
No. I should have been like, oh, he's playing the Niners. Let me solidify some points for myself.
I'm a big fan of Greg Cassell, who's the NFL Films guy.
Mm-hmm.
That comes on. He goes on a ton of different radio shows.
And he does great work. He does great work.
And he has a great voice.
But he will repeatedly tell you that Russell Wilson, while he is very elusive and will make plays on the run, he leaves a ton of plays on the field. Every single game, he leaves big plays on the field. And while he makes a flashy play here and there that can, you know, scrambling around on a third and something and gets through and his team plays well, he leaves a lot of points. And when your defense falls back, that's what you see with the Seattle Seahawks.
You know what Robin just described? Christian Johnny Manziel.
Christian Johnny Manziel?
Yeah, not fucking CR Johnny Manziel. That's who he just described.
Or like Tebow that can pass.
Yeah, barely touching Ciara Johnny Manziel.
Jesus.
Exactly, Jesus.
Speaking of Robin, Robin actually was an underdog going up against a here.
What? I was not.
Yeah, 103-106.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
And you ended up beating them 89-61. Yeah. So Tahir underperformed.
So let's talk about Yahoo projections.
But this is Tahir's team, though. Like, Tahir's team could score 60. Tahir's team could score 160. It's a, like, I am only projected to win by a little bit this week, and I'm definitely worried about Tahir's team. They're just... He has that random team that can just blow up.
Yeah, I mean, you can't expect Amari Cooper to get 0.4 points again.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, a lot of little stuff there. But, you know, he's got Starks. He also has Lacy, so I don't know who he's going to decide.
He's got Lacy in right now.
I was surprised about how bad Phillip Rivers performed against Kansas City. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, 6.92 points from Phillip Rivers. That's how you only score 60 points.
How are you feeling about your team, Robin?
I feel fine. I'm in great position to make the playoffs. I've managed to pick up some depth for my bench, which helps.
Very nice. But
and I've pretty much sold out all of my depth for.
I was really hoping that Joe was going to be eliminated by this point, but
hey, he's a cockroach, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Last game, Pat, still continuing his winning ways, beats Marcos. Is 96-89. Is anybody? Not much has been said about Patrick in his really good season thus far, but is anybody worried about facing Pat in the playoffs?
If he's anything like other Detroit teams that get to the playoffs, he's going to fold when the time comes.
Wow.
He's got a lot of pieces, though, that are like fill-ins that could easily be replaced by like the original starter or like Charcandrick West. If he doesn't play,
yeah,
that's a huge piece of his team.
But he also picked up Ware, I believe. Did he? Oh, no.
No, that was Tahir who picked him up.
Tahir picked up Ware.
Yeah.
He does have Cam Newton, by the way. And
did he? No. Tahir
Shouts to that trade that really benefited both of us. That's one of the rare trades that when I traded Cam Newton for Nuk Hopkins.
Yeah.
And even the draft picks match up and everything. Like, yeah. it's both... Like, one of the rare trades that's mutually beneficial here, in this league.
And since that was the last game of – and then really quickly, I'm just going to go over the standings, and we're going to talk about a few things. Things, like I said, are really heating up. Number one overall, Robin, Fart Apocalypse, who had an 8-3 record with 1,205 points.
What, six straight?
Number one overall. Yep. Six straight wins. The second-ranked team is Pat, three straight wins with an 8-3 record as well. He has a point total of 1,177. The number three team is the Phoenix for Kelvin. That's Tim with a 7-4 record. His current streak is at one loss. He has 1,129 points. And then the fourth team is Joe with a 6-5 record with 1,190 points. And then bringing up the rear, you have Matty Hughes, who, unless he ends up outscoring Joe for the remainder of the year, will not have a chance at the playoffs. Same thing with Scott. He would probably have to...
Sorry.
Yeah, happens.
Excuse me.
You want to go...
Bless you.
Check yourself? Go,
no.
Get a wipe and
yeah, check it out? No, it wasn't that.
Sneeze.
Leather. Leather.
I think I have some baby wipes.
Farts and leather don't work together.
Probably, but in all honesty, I think the remaining spot really comes down to me and Tim. Tim's at 7-4. I'm at 6-5. And these next few weeks are kind of going to decide that definitive playoff spot. All the other league leaders are pretty much they're a lock. I don't think anybody's gonna collapse.
Yeah, the league totally. Like I'm not catching Robin. That it'd be ridiculous for that.
But definitely trying to get in at that four spot.
Oh, 100%.
So one thing I do want to bring up in regards to football and Cam Newton, I think it's definitely safe to say, like, that dude needs to just get – you should hand him the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, right there's it's his this year. It really is.
At the beginning of the year, I was touting him as a top five quarterback, mm-hmm. but that was because of the talent that he had around him. He lost.
Everybody.
Outside
of Greg Olsen.
Yeah, Greg Olsen.
Outside
still
of Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen's still there.
But the fact of the matter is,
When you're
your number one,
when your number one receiver is Ted Ginn Jr. and you do and you have a top five offense in the NFL, I mean, you know, and there was that weird. There still is a weird stretch where people don't want to give him the credit. They're like, oh, he's Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, it's because everybody we throw a hell of shade on. A healthy Jonathan Stewart,
How much is he health? And you know what?
I'm like, God damn, we can't trade with Elliott anymore.
Cam has two things that people don't like, and it's the thing that happened at Auburn when he was caught up with dumbass people and had the cool laptop thing, and then the fact that he's a guy that likes to celebrate when he scores touchdowns because, God forbid, a dark-skinned quarterback in the NFL might want to celebrate something.
Or offend women.
Oh, yeah, offend old white ladies in the South who want to – that is the greatest thing to come out of this season.
Did you guys hear about that? The letter, the open letter that some mom from
– old white woman from South Carolina decides to write some – or North Carolina, whatever the hell she is.
Tennessee,
whatever. My 9-year-old, you're going to do that and then you're going to influence my 9-year-old? It's like, wow. Yeah. So,
as white as white bread, SoCal Carson Palmer humps the air.
Oh yeah, right, yeah. And gets fined $11,000.
Yeah. And Cam Newton is way more of a pocket passing quarterback than people think.
Oh God, yeah,
he's not a run first quarterback.
He has figured things out, and it's scary now. Like
he's really good.
Like he's ascended past the idea that he's a taller Russell Wilson or he's a taller Colin Kaepernick. He's better.
Well, first off, Kaepernick's at the same height, so
whatever.
The thing is, you can't. There's nobody on that team that you can point to and say that he's having success because of that. Like, he doesn't have.
He does have a really good offensive line. His offensive line is really.
You get what I'm saying? It's not
tight end is hella good.
It's not like he has some elite. You know.
Shout out to the 7th floor Q.
Top three wide receiver on this. You know what I mean? But he's putting up these numbers and
not turning the ball over, which was his bugaboo for how long? Everybody talked about how many interceptions he had, how many times he fumbled the ball.
Granted, it is. It's a team game, yeah. And you can't just say he is.
He's the MVP.
And he and Steph Curry are buds.
Yeah, hell yeah. Shouts.
Right. That gives me way more respect for Cam Newton.
Which is funny. Like,
they might become my new adopted team since the Colts, who were my preseason adoption.
Yeah.
And I love Ric Flair, so.
Hell fucking yeah. Woo!
Just don't cut a promo.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm one and two since I cut that promo. I know people wanted the promo, so I gave the people
Robin
the promo.
Robin needs to cut a promo now that he's
not. Yeah, Robin, then you're gonna go to 8-6.
You fucking kidding me?
1-3, no baby. Promo. 1-3 since the promo.
Here's I'm gonna get Robin drunk and I'm gonna record him just like spouting off about how great his team is, and we'll just call it a promo.
That's not gonna happen.
So
that's not gonna happen.
But Cam Newton's definitely the MVP.
You'd get me really drunk, and you'd get a recording of this, and be like, "Joe, you know what? I just don't want you to make the playoffs because I think it'd be better if you didn't." So stop it.
So
that'd be the.
By the way, Robin, are you going to not tank but start non-optimal lineups purely to keep yourself from facing me week one of playoffs?
Well, you know, how could I possibly start a non-optimal lineup with such an elite team?
My God.
That sounded like a promo right there.
I'm not lying.
Can we cut that and just play
what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back through the past few weeks of the football season cut and paste all of Robin's roster baiting moments and then turn that into a promo.
I mean, his dick is actually out when he says that. I mean,
you can't tell. But...
Oh, wow. Oh, really?
Okay, let's
you guys aren't even facing each other
let's
yet.
Let's not go there.
Let's
not go there.
You can't be talking shit like that. We're not even facing each other
Let's
yet.
Not go
There's
there.
There's a decent chance it's going to happen. Let's be honest
with you. And pulls dick out?
Let's look at week 12. Okay, let's look at week 12. Let's not look at Robin's wiener.
Whoa. My shorts don't even have a zipper. I would have to literally drop my shorts.
Or just rip through them.
That's an option.
So this is actually
the fabric's kind of stretchy.
It's an option.
as you were saying, Pete.
Okay, so week 12. This is a very interesting week in the fact that I'm playing Scott. We're both at 6-5. I'm favored by 8 points, but he has some really good. He has some good matchups. David Carr. The Raiders are going to Tennessee.
And they just had a poop show, so there might be a redemption game.
Larry Fitzgerald and the Cardinals are going to San Francisco. TJ Yeldon is playing in San Diego. San Diego is horrible against the run, so that could actually hurt me quite a bit. Matt Forte is presumably going to be back against the Packers.
Yeah, but he's going to have limited touches.
We'll see. We'll see. If he's back and he's healthy, I think they'll give him his starting.
Depends how good he is at touching.
And then a lot of my guys actually have some fairly difficult matchups. Specifically, Cowboys are playing the Carolina Panthers. And then, even though they're struggling a little bit, the Detroit Lions are going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. So,
focus.
You're talking about your team. Okay.
Yeah.
I think, the look on your face was like, I'm trying not to fart. I think that's what you're just...
Yeah.
Okay.
Elliot playing the MCR Silly Nannies, which is a big week for Joe.
Yes.
Elliot is, as this loads, he's actually favored by almost 20.
I'm about to say.
By almost
his
20
running
points.
Backs right now, dude. His freaking running backs.
I don't know if – I mean, yeah. I mean, even if Matt does an optimal lineup, he's still going to be favored by 15 points, 20 points. So there's a good chance.
Oh, no. No. Elliot's team is catching fire at the best possible time for me.
Elliot's team is the opposite of my team now.
FYI, Tim was a low score of the week with 5 points. How many points did you score this week?
I scored negative 20 points. And since last week he shotgunned a 16-ounce 8% beer, we have graced him with a Bud Light.
Yeah.
This shotgun brought to you in part by Bud Light. What you get when Coors Light is not available.
I prefer Bud Light.
Go for
well,
it.
Well, I mean...
Somebody help Tim. Somebody
no, I fucking... I hate,
got it?
I hate not having...
Use your thumb and push the bottom of the tab.
You need someone to prep this for you? No,
hold on.
We could so, get a key and put it under the tab for you. And
don't do it over the carpet, Tim.
I'm trying to turn myself.
Tim, just bite into that fucking beer.
Yeah. Just bite it. Make him look like a dick.
Hand him the knife.
Tim, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Don't stop sipping out of the shotgun hole. You guys are awful.
Yeah, that kind of worked.
I mean, worst shotgun of the year.
It was like a Dutch rudder, but with a shotgun of a beer.
I don't even know what a Dutch rudder is.
I mean, yeah.
I don't.
I agree.
Do I want to know what a Dutch rudder is?
Oh, next time can we do a double Dutch?
Here's.
Do you remember the end of Zach and Mary Make a Porno?
All right, moving on.
That's a transition.
Matt
Dutch rudder.
Listen to this.
No, that's important.
That's right.
Marcos is favored over Matt Keyser, 98-90.
Yep.
Yes, and I made the mistake earlier of saying on the podcast that I felt that Keyser is tanking. His team tanked him. He's got to look for next year and try and feel a full team.
But I don't think he's
just in a rough spot.
Yeah.
Marcos has a good team. Yeah. He's had a decent team all year.
Yeah.
I'm worried about facing him in my final three.
So here's a great question. Are we done going through them, or is there one or two more games?
Two more games.
Okay, go ahead and throw through those, and then I have a question I want to ask.
The next game, Joe against Tahir. Joe is actually favored by 16 points.
All right.
Yep. Joe's still worried about this. This is a revenge game because Auschka,
right,
is starting.
Right, Auschka. I should be locked into playoffs right now if I had Auschka. It's true.
My God, Joe's very bitter. This game holds.
But that's also not Tahir's fault, Elliot.
You sure?
Hold this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
He drafted a good kicker because he was available. He shouldn't have been available. That was. Not his fault.
I've been streaming kickers and defenses all year.
I know. Your
defense I'm going to have to start streaming defenses now, and that sucks.
I've started like 8 different defenses.
The next game is...
I got Kyra Santos. I'm streaming shit.
Is Robin versus Tim.
Yeah.
And Robin is favored by like
25 points.
By like 30 points.
Yeah. First off, I'd like to say shout out to Yahoo Projections because they've been so good all year.
They've been very accurate.
They've been totally accurate. No, this is...
At 6-5, I have been projected to win every single game.
Yeah.
If Joe was to win the one you won against,
if Joe was the spread,
2 points. True.
If Joe was the spread, he would be the house because he's favorited and he has won just over 50% of the time. Therefore, he is the house.
And he's built like a brick shit house. So,
two questions. First off, over under points I lose to Robin by this week, 30 points.
Oh, come on.
Honestly.
I'm 30, I'll say over.
Okay. Second question.
You think I'm going to beat him at 30?
You're going to whoop my ass, Robin. Yeah.
No, it's going to be 90-60. It's going to be a shit show.
Second question. Who's going to come in last? Because, like...
Doesn't look like Elliot anymore.
It's not going to be Elliot.
Does Brienne have a chance at this point? I don't think she does.
Speaking
of Brienne, here's something really interesting. With the current lineups, with the current projections, Brienne is only projected to lose to Pat by 4 points,
right.
97-93. So,
but then she closes the season with Joe and I.
But I just mean, it's just interesting. Pat at 8-3.
Yeah.
I don't think Pat set his lineup, though. He had buys people in there, I think.
So I'm just curious. Have any of you guys looked at the recaps, the automated insights
recaps? Yeah, it's shit.
Well, no. There's one awesome thing in there that it does for you, which is it tells you your record versus the rest of the league.
Oh, yeah.
If you played your roto.
So, like, if you're 8-3, you're doing good.
Yeah. But I was just curious if you guys know what your
undefeated.
I haven't come back and computed that. It would probably be overall.
Yeah, it tells you overall. Oh. It's at, like in mine it's like if Fart Apocalypse had played every team in the league each week, it would be 82-39. Every week it'll tell you that.
Yeah, so mine's 79.
So yours is like,
mine's 79 and whatever.
I gotta check mine out, because... like, beginning of the season, I was fucking ridiculous.
So you'd have four more wins than me, but that's probably still towards the top.
But I'd be interested to see everybody's.
Yeah, I want to see Brianne's.
Let me check mine real quick. Hold on.
Brianne will be like 46 and like 60-something.
I mean, we know based on points.
Where do you see it in the app?
It's.
I love you, Brianne.
So if you go back to, I don't know if it's in the app. I think it's only on the website.
It's only on the website. That's why I like started to look at it, and I was like...
Oh, I can... No. Actually, you can look at the matchup from last week, and then it'll tell you. Hold on.
Yeah.
Look at the matchup. And then look at the...
Riveting
recap.
What do you think about that, Larry Bird? Do you think Larry he Joe won Bird. Three consecutive NBA MVPs? I think you did.
Dude, I wish Kroll Show would come back.
How about some root beer?
Purely for young Larry Bird.
Really good.
So Joe's at 70. So Joe's at 79 and 42. I'm at 70 and 51.
Yeah.
Pedro's texting.
Are you texting your girlfriend?
Yeah, do you have a hot date next week?
Maybe I do.
Do you have a hot date next week? Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Well,
I've got an assistant in my office I think you should meet.
I'd like to meet her. She sounds...
That's who Tim's hot date is with next week.
Oh, wow, man. That's Uh-oh. Fucked up. That's
super yeah, that is messed up. I wanted to date her.
You can have her.
Let's date her together.
Wait, what? What? We're going to go there?
No, we're not.
Okay, cool.
I don't know where to go with that.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, let's touch on Thanksgiving. So we have two games that are happening tomorrow. The Carolina Panthers... Three games.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's going to be Bears-Packers?
Bears-Packers, Carolina, and Dallas, and the Bears-Packers, the night game.
Like Philadelphia and
oh, yeah.
Detroit.
Philly and Detroit.
Yeah, like Detroit team. Plays yeah. every fucking...
So.
Well, I just thought it was kind of cool that like the Panthers are going to get their first...
Yeah. And they get to do it in Dallas, and they get to whoop Dallas's ass. So
I hope not, because I need lots of points from Dallas. They can whoop their ass, but it should be a shootout.
They no, won't. Totally. I'm right there with you.
Thank
it's just going to be
hey, thanks, buddy.
Tony Romo to thanks, Dez. Like,
yeah, we need that.
400 yards.
Six touchdowns. I'd like to personally apologize. Even though Robin won by a billion points, that A.J. Green got nothing from Andy Dalton. I'm sorry.
A.J. Green's kind of done, skis. Not done, but he's not.
Yeah, you should
he's trade him. He's not start him. Of the season, A.J.
You
Green.
Should trade him for a 12th round
draft. All right, who wants A.J. Green for a 12th round?
I will trade you... Let me think about the ham sandwich count. Seven ham sandwiches.
A.J. Green is a 20-30-point game waiting to happen at any point.
Against what Joe in the playoffs.
What if I give you five ham sandwiches and a half pound that's of right. Thanksgiving leftovers?
That's still probably not enough.
What about a pound of Thanksgiving leftovers?
What if I made you a big sandwich from all my leftovers?
Yeah. What if I got a baguette from Basque? And just put all the leftovers on it.
Does trading players for sandwiches actually count as collusion?
No.
No.
Sandwiches are amazing.
That's trade.
So I will be totally honest. I totally offered a trade to Elliot today. Only time I'd be like, I can't trade. And I was like, ah, fuck.
Yeah. So you know what?
Shit.
So here's a question that I just want to know. So
here's an answer.
Do you guys feel like that trade could, that rule could be rescinded next year?
No.
Okay. I think it has an opportunity to.
We can add some stipulations to keep it. Yeah, because,
I mean, we're, like, the trades that, like, we all would think of, you included, fuckface. God damn you.
The trades we even talked about the trade with Joe and Tim.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we
but,
haven't.
Like, the we trades that we would all concoct.
Should we do the ceremonial blast the trade and call it ridiculous?
Yeah. Yes. They're not going to be... I don't think we'd be ripping anybody off.
I can see
Joe,
both
you know
sides.
Inside.
I can see both sides being ridiculous.
Listen, your dick is still in Tim's butt.
That's not true. Listen.
Wow.
What has Chris Johnson...
So
like, he's getting 21 carries a game. Well, last time he played the night, he's going to have a big game. Actually, I probably could have waited a week and still made the
where's
trade.
All this,
you actually were like, you know about. What? I'm going to do this purely so that he goes off against Robin. and gives me a shot.
So where's all the future value with Carlos Hyde on a team that is as bad as the 49ers? And I truly mean this.
Do you remember when the last time they were like the worst ever?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember there were two shining lights of that team?
Yeah.
Who were those shining lights? Garrison Hurst and...
Well, no, when Frank Gore first started. Frank Gore and Patrick Willis.
But Frank Gore is a Hall of Fame running back.
Who proved
from the start of his career that he was a 1,000-yard back. He had 1,000 yards in every season except for the one he actually lost to injury. Carlos Hyde has shown flashes. He's got a lot of potential.
Yep.
But I unfortunately can't wait for the potential now.
No, you can't. And that's why I struck. So good on him.
But see, that's the thing. It's like, you guys think it's a bad trade because you just think, the ceiling for Carlos Hyde is high. It's almost bad because it took until now. Have you guys seen my team at running back the last three weeks?
Have you seen the trades that I've offered you for Carlos Hyde all year?
So Carlos Hyde went quickly? From Emmanuel Sanders to and Gio Bernard to and then CJ Anderson, Gio Bernard, and
Sammy
Watkins. To straight up for Chris Johnson.
Yep.
So if you want to talk about how maybe in this league you shouldn't really be too hung up on any player, even if you see potential, hi, my name is Tim Livingston, and I approve this message.
Listen, I don't hate the trade for any logical – well, it's a very logical reason.
I think it's a great trade.
I hate it because it directly fucks me. Like, this week
– and it directly helps me.
And
so
possibly in the future. So, you know –
I think
like, but what if Carlos Hyde all of a sudden gets healthy and then Joe has Carlos Hyde in the playoffs and
that
Carlos
would be,
Hyde decides.
I would be pissed.
And
the
Niners make like a spirited push at the end of the season.
Yeah, they go 6-10. Like, what the fuck, 6-10?
Let's also bring this. We'll just affirm this now. Tim, I owe you $20.
Yeah, you owe me $20.
Because that shit ain't happening.
Yeah.
We made a bet before this podcast even happened, before the season started, that the Niners were going to go 8-8. That's not happening.
Yeah, they'd have to win out, basically. They're not going to win out.
No.
They're not going to win out.
But no, and here's the thing, too. So the only reason I pushed forever was he's a third-round pick.
Yeah. Yes.
And we talked about running back value. And like I said, me, unfortunately, I don't have much on my team that's worth keeping outside of Nuk Hopkins.
Just keep tanking, Tim.
But I can't, like, literally, this will probably be my – I'd have to hit on so many draft picks next year.
Yes.
This is my best shot this year. It is. I have to go all in for this year, which sucks. I don't like doing that. But what really sucks is that none of the people who I thought of would be keepers for next year have panned out. And
well, that's because it's not next year. It's this year.
Yeah. But I can't sit
there.
They could
pan out for next year.
I can't sit there waiting for next year when this year right now is my best shot. It is
my best
shot.
You never know. Next year could be your best shot.
By the way, Chris Johnson is a 15th round keeper.
Yeah.
And by the way, next year he will be like 35 and his knees will explode.
Right.
True.
God, I hope that happens this week. Sorry, Chris Johnson.
I looked at my team and I'm drafting 6 players next year.
I think you and I are very similar.
I'm drafting like 12 players next year. I might actually draft 14 players next year, depending.
Technically, we're all going to draft 15.
That's true. But some of them are keepers.
Mm. Yes. Some are auto.
Some are sad.
Anybody want Andrew Luck?
You haven't dropped him yet?
Pete.
No, he's going to be back in the playoffs.
The Indianapolis Colts don't want Andrew Luck.
Wow. Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do.
No? Silly. Then where's he going? Niners?
Jim Irsay is kind of doing that whole thing about like, okay, first off,
Jim Irsay is high. Like, literally, he is high.
First off,
like, not like, this oh,
is,
what is
this?
This
is not an
implement. Like, he's
this
literally
is,
high.
This
and
is,
drunk.
Yeah. This is not me implicating Andrew Luck in anything. This is me about to point out that Jim Irsay is a fucking moron.
Listen, he has a disease.
Yeah. He is.
It's called alcoholism.
He's alcoholic.
And drug addiction.
And he's got drug addiction. He's got $320,000 of cash in his trunk. With a bunch of Vicodin for you to have right now.
This Jim Irsay segment is brought to you by Not Your Father's Root Beer.
Because Jim Irsay put the alcohol in your root beer.
It's not your father's root beer.
5.9% alcohol.
That's booze in it.
Tastes like root beer.
But I also do kind of feel like my dad, if he were to drink root beer, would need to have booze in it. So I guess it would be my father's root beer.
I don't think I've ever put booze in root beer. You know what would be great?
You know what? You
a need motherfucking to... root beer float.
With this. Yes, but you know, if you've not, and this is college days, but I would do it again if someone wanted to join in. Root beer and Jägermeister are amazing.
Together. Let's go buy some fucking ice cream. I mean,
let's go fuck some ice cream.
We have.
I mean, buy some. Oh shit!
You got that thought.
How many people do you think have had? Well, probably
a lot. Probably a lot. Yeah.
I'm about to say how many people
you're drunken. Say,
how many people think you're in the happened. Fuck? What?
What?
None. Didn't say anything. So, but Jim Irsay's high, and now he's got this whole thing where maybe he doesn't think Andrew Luck's his guy. Like, there's been bullshit reports being leaked out. It's that bullshit things that owners do when they don't want to take accountability. Like, Jerry Jones made this shit famous, and then it was picked up by Jed York and our buddy in Washington and all that shit. So it's like Dan Snyder. It's like, I'm sick of this shit. I really am. Andrew Luck's great.
Pick
fuck
heads
you.
Or tails.
Tails never fails, bro. Come on. Bro. You played football?
How many times did we win a freshman football coin toss on Tails Never Fails?
Or JV.
Or
probably
JV.
50% of the time, I would guess.
God damn it. It's 51%.
That's not real life. That's not real life. That's a all fake app.
That's a two.
Tails Never
you
Fails.
You have an app that's got a two-headed coin on it, you fuck.
All right, then. And anybody have a coin?
This is it's 2015.
Oh, I do. I have a quarter. Who keeps changing their wallet?
You have a quarter
in
your wallet?
I randomly have had cash.
That's
like
very
people,
George.
Never
that's
have.
Very George Costanza of you.
I'll call him the air. I'm going to call it Tails, but I'll call him the air. Tails. Boom.
Tails never fails.
Tails never fails.
I told you.
All right, Tim, take us out of here. It's
literally in the course of this last. That was 50%.
I want to.
Wait, what was the reasoning behind that?
Oh yeah.
Take us
out. Yeah. Shout out to everybody. Have a great Thanksgiving. We love you all. This is episode 210. We're up to 210 episodes of this shit.
Last time I weighed 210 pounds, I was a sophomore in high school.
God damn it. Don't bring that up.
I was like
a freshman in high school. By the way, real quick, anybody looking for a Christmas gift for me? There's a Joey Bats Bat Flip Ugly Christmas Sweater. It's as glorious as it sounds.
I got you a Joey Bats signed baseball.
You did. And now I want the matching ugly Christmas sweatshirt. Right.
I got you the bat that he flipped, but it hasn't come back from orbit yet.
No, that's true. That's so true. Yes. It's not. First off, yeah, that's not coming back for like 1,000 years. So
it's actually just circling around the sun.
Joe, right, what Joe did as soon as he flipped it was he called dibs, and now it's mine. So that's basically
it.
What
it also knocked out Joseph Randall and Amir Abdullah.
Oh my God! Are you saying that it landed on Joseph Randall in Kansas, and that's what got him arrested?
Probably.
Okay, all right.
Where the fuck did that come from? I'm gonna punch this guy. arrested.
And then Amir Abdullah tried to help, and he also got knocked out by it.
Then it went back to the greater Toronto area.
That's right. But yeah, hope you guys had it. You'll probably hear this after Thanksgiving, so hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. And we have 4 more weeks of this. 3 more weeks and then playoffs. We have 4 more weeks basically until the championship. There's going to be a lot of beer being drank. There's going to be a lot of shed tears because we're all going to be crying about...
There's only one person who's... crying tears.
And Elliot's going to be very happy because there's a good chance that of the 4 teams in the playoffs, 3 of them are going to be Sonoma based, and there's going to be a lot of shit talking on this podcast. Yeah. So, but yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Drink and be merry.
Oops.
Cheers, bros.
Briss.
Deuces.
Hey, if you want to keep following Los Livingston Brothers, you can see us on Facebook. Just go to the Los Livingston Brothers fan page. Give us a like, leave comments, all that good stuff. And on iTunes, make sure to subscribe and also give us a nice, pretty-looking review and throw 5 stars up on us because we are like a Rob Van Dam frog splash because it's the 5-star frog splash. On top of that, if you don't use iTunes to listen to your podcast, you can also go to LosLivingstonBrothers.com, click on the radio shows tab, and you'll be able to listen to all the shows dating back to our very first show at KCY in 2011.
Man, that's a long time ago. Man, I'm old.